Like, what a beautiful song, what a beautiful testimony, what a beautiful story behind the writer of that song. I tell you, if you don't know that story, you need to look it up. I'm telling you, it just bless your heart. Colossians chapter 4 this evening. Colossians chapter 4, we're going to look at, I believe, one of the great subjects of the Bible. My dad thought that every time that you stood up to preach, you should preach on prayer. and he wouldn't mind telling you that that's what you should be doing too. He wouldn't mind telling Pastor Broyhill that. I mean, he told him that many times. You need to be preaching more on prayer. And he didn't make no bones about it. And you know what?
Thank God for him.
Amen. Amen. I don't disagree with him. You know, don't disagree with him. And so prayer is one of the, like I said, one of the great, it's just one of the great subjects of the Bible. And prayer is probably one of the most neglected things in the Bible that God tells us to do that we just don't do enough of. We have got, and we've done this before, but this is just a little bit different, but we have set aside 40 days to pray for America. And we're encouraging everyone to go by, pick up one of these cards and fill it out to commit. Hey, I'm going to pray for America specifically on this date. Boy, that's a great thing to do. I hope that you'll do it. I hope every one of you will do that. By the way, we shouldn't wait for just one day. We really should be praying for America every day. But you know what we're doing? If you don't constantly put things before people, it'll be easy to forget. Sometimes we think that because it's not been preached on or it's not been talked about recently, well, you know, that, you know, we're kind of out of sight, out of mind kind of thing. And so we don't want that to happen because prayer is so important. And I mean, we're going to talk to you tonight about prayer and how important it is for a Christian to pray. And I tell you, we need to do that. Brother George Law, not everybody here would know Brother George Law, but Brother George Law, whether you were meeting him or when he would leave, sometime during that time that you, if you met him or run into him or talked to him, he would always say, pray for me. And then he would say, I need the prayers and you need the practice. And you know what? He was right. We need the practice. We need each other. All of us need the prayer. We need people praying for us. But we also need to be praying because we need to practice. The most important part about what I'm going to talk about tonight, about prayer, the most important part of it is just to pray. Just to pray. If you don't ever pray, if you don't make the effort to pray, then you'll never be able or you'll never learn how to pray. All of us could improve. But I'm going to tell you, prayer is so important. And so I hope that tonight we'll say something, do something. God will use it in your life to cause you to be the man, the woman of prayer that God wants us to be. God wants us to be. You know, prayer really is just like picking up the phone and talking to your Father. That's what really prayer is. If you want to just break it down to the simplest form, that's what it's all about. Boy, I don't know about you, but my family is leaving North Carolina. They're going all over the country. I'll have, after the first of the year, we'll have only one child and five grandchildren in North Carolina. All the rest of them are going to be leaving. So you know what we have to do on a regular basis? Pick up the phone and call. Because we miss them. We hadn't talked to them. And we're going to call them. We're going to talk to them so we can keep in touch. So we can keep up with them. Those kind of things. And you know what? God is way more important than our family. And we need contact with Him more than we need contact with anybody. And so folks, listen. Let's make it our heart's desire Let's be men and women of prayer. Colossians chapter 4, in verse number 2, the Bible says this, "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mysteries of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man." And let's bow for prayer. Lord, as we come before you, Lord, I sure do need your help tonight, and I pray that you'd bless. And Lord, I don't know that I can do justice to the subject here, but Lord, I know that you can take my words, you can take your word, and Lord, you can make something out of it, and you can make something great out of it. And I pray that, Lord, you would bless and you'd speak to hearts. Lord, help us, and Lord, burden us and challenge us, Lord, to be more in prayer than we've ever been in our life. And Lord, I hope us, help us to see the importance of how much we need to pray. And Lord, we sure will thank you for what you're going to do. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. When I think about prayer and I think about answer to prayer, I can't help but think, my mind goes back. I've been at Calvary here for a long, long time, probably longer than y'all need to know how long I've been here, but I've been here for a long time. And I know you're looking at me and saying, well, Brother Vernon, you don't look that old, and you'd be right? You'd be right about that. I am not that old, and I don't look that old. And so I came when I was a toddler. That's how long I've been here. Not really, but anyway. When I think about Calvary, I think about Calvary being a church of prayer. When I think about answer prayer, I tell you, some of the great prayers that I have seen and been a part of answered, I've seen answered through this church right here. And I tell you, I'm so thankful to be a part of that. You know, there's a lot of churches that don't have a clue what this means. They don't have a clue what it means to see and be able to see God work in such great and wonderful ways. I remember when we were praying for this building right here, this vacant lot that looked absolutely awful. And it was probably the worst looking place on Main Street. It was terrible. It was all growed up. It was orange and yellow plastic all across the front there. Windows boarded up. They were warped boards. They were crumbling. They were falling apart. I mean, it was just a terrible looking place. And Dr. Barry pulled up over at the gas station one day. He's pumping gas and he's looking out, just looking around. And he looks over there at this vacant lot, this ugly building, and he says, "You know what? That would be a great place for a church." And you know, he started praying, and he went and talked with Brother Baker about that, and of course, you know, he was pastor at the time, and talked to him about that, and it just started going from there. And there were times that we would on a Wednesday night, we would pray about it. On Saturday nights, we used to have the men's prayer meeting on Saturday nights, and we would pray about this building over here. There were times that we'd load up the van and we would have people come over here and set. You couldn't drive up on the parking lot because they had these big old metal gate down there at the entrance way, and you couldn't drive up on the parking lot, but we would pull up in that driveway and we would sit there in that van and we would pray for this building. Preacher Baker, and I don't know how he did. I've been meaning to ask him how he did that, but he would come in here. He would sneak in the building. Somehow he had a way he could get in the building. And he would come in this building and he would sit on a 5-gallon bucket and he would pray and ask God to give us this building. And they finally got up enough nerve and they got up enough courage and they went to Asheville and they talked to a guy named Robert Engel, who happened to be the owner of this property here. He was the, of course, Engel's Grocery Store is what it used to be. And they went up there and they talked to him and they presented this great plan. And you know, Preacher Baker, he was just a great strategizer, a great planner. And man, he had this thing all laid out. And he said, "This is what we can do, and this is what we, you know, all the things and all the pieces fit together." And he just laid it out there to him, and he said, "You know, right here it is, and you know, it's a win-win for everybody." And the guy said, not interested. Okay. Turned around, walked out, left. Prayed about it. Went back again. Man said, not interested. Don't want to talk about it. Okay. So at that time, they had plans. We knew we had to do something. We were going to expand down there. We was going to build an auditorium down there. Had the plans drew up. We was going to have a meeting where we were going to present this, and this is how, you know, this is what we were going to do. But, you know, behind the scenes, and nobody knew it, Preacher Baker was working behind the scenes there, and he said, I just believe God wants us to have this building. And he said, I just can't give up on it. And, you know, even though we presented the plans for that other church, that other building down there, auditorium down there, they went back one more time. And this time, for some reason, the man says, okay, we'll do it. And here we are. And I tell you, folks, I tell you, it was just one of those amazing things to see. I didn't think there was any way in the world God was going to do that, but he did it. And God made a way. God moved a man's heart that had no desire whatsoever. He didn't have any interest in selling a piece of property. It didn't bother him one way. He was going to let this building set up here and just fall down. But God made a way. God moved his heart. And I tell you, folks, don't take things like that for granted. God answers prayer. God works in behalf of us, in spite of us a lot of times, and he's moved because of our prayers. And folks, listen, I'm telling you, prayer is such a wonderful, it's just a wonderful thing that God has given us to do, to pray and ask God for things and see God work and see God do great things. And I mean, that's just one thing, but I mean, there's been hundreds of things. There's people sitting here, they're alive tonight because I believe of the prayers of God's people. Our pastor, I believe he is here. He is alive because of the prayers of God's people and other people. We could just go right down the line. And I tell you, God has done so many great things through this church and with this church. All right? So I'm going to give you some things here, about five things tonight about prayer. First thing that I want you to see and I want you to understand is that we're to make prayer a priority. Prayer should be a priority. Now, we're going to look at several verses tonight. You don't have to turn to all of them, but I just want you to know that we're going to be turning to several places in the Bible. Now, make prayer a priority. Look over in Mark chapter 1, and we want to see the emphasis that the Lord Jesus Christ himself put on prayer. Mark chapter 1 and verse 35. The Bible tells us this. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. And by the way, can I just tell you that was the habit, that was the normal for what God, for what Jesus did. He would get up early many, many times. He would get up early before anybody else. He would go out. And he would find a place to where he could be alone with the Father, and he would pray. Listen, Jesus Christ himself put a priority on prayer. He thought it important that he get up early, even though he was tired, even though he worked long hours, he worked hard, he worked long hours, he'd stay up late at night, and he would probably get little rest, but he would get up early in the morning. And he would make prayer a priority. I want you to look over and look in the book of 1 Timothy, if you would, just a few pages over from Colossians. 1 Timothy in chapter number 2 and verse number 1. And here, the Bible tells us, let's look at verse 1, chapter 2, verse 1. Yeah. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Now, he puts it in order. He's trying to make an emphasis here, and he says, I exhort you, I'm encouraging you, I'm inviting you that first of all, in other words, he's saying, I'm making a priority here for prayer. First of all, make it one of the first things in your life. Put it up at the top of your list of important things that must be done. By the way, since we're talking about praying for America here, read on with me here, because he tells us that we're to pray. And why should we pray? He says we're to pray for kings and for all that are in authority, those that are over us, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Listen, he's telling us here, make prayer a priority. And listen, it ought to be one of the chief things that we do. Why? So that we can live a quiet and a peaceable life here. Now, he was writing to the people of this day, but listen, this verse is for us. I'm telling you, and we understand. I think we know. We've seen some things here that there is a good chance that if the wrong people are put into office, then as a Christian, we may not have a quiet and peaceable life anymore. We may not have the freedoms and the liberties that we do now. And folks, if not this election, surely the elections to come on down the road, it's not that far down the road to where, listen, I don't know that we'll be able to do what we're doing here tonight. And folks, listen, we need to pray about it. We need to be much in prayer about this thing. Why? It is a serious thing. Now listen, I'll put us all in the same boat here. Now I know there's younger people than there are, there's some older people and younger people. But, you know, we're all kind of in this boat together. But you think about your children. Do you want your children to have a mom and dad that lives in the same house with them, then they're not living down at the jailhouse? You want your children to be taken from you and put into some kind of facility because mom and dad's going to be in jail for preaching the gospel or standing for the Lord? Or do you want that for your grandchildren? You think about you say to yourself, well, it's not going to affect me, it's not going to bother me that much. Well, what about your children? What about your grandchildren? Folks, listen, this is a serious thing. Listen, it wouldn't take much at all. It wouldn't take much of a swing at all for all of our liberties to be taken from us. And I'm telling you, folks, it is vitally important. It's serious business. Boy, we need to be serious about this. Make prayer a priority in your life, okay? And by the way, when we get to the end, I'm going to give you several things that's going to help, just to help us about praying and how to pray and those kind of things. Just some easy things to do. All right? And so the second thing I want you to see is our praying must be faithful. Continue in prayer. That's what the Bible tells us here in Colossians. Let's go back over there. In Colossians, he tells us that we're to continue on in prayer. Continue. All right, that means to be faithful. That means to be steadfast in your prayer life. Be devoted. Don't quit. Listen, I'm telling you, folks, if you don't ever start, if you don't set your mind to it, you're never going to have a consistent prayer life. Folks, listen, we have got to get serious about this thing, and we've got to be consistent about it. Every single day, we ought to be praying to God. There ought to be certain things that we pray about every single day. Not only should we be reading our Bible, but we should be praying every day. And we've got to be faithful about that. And we've got to be consistent about that. And you know, most of all, don't get discouraged and don't quit praying. I mean, listen, every time you pray, God's not going to open up the heavens and pour out His blessings. Sometimes it is tough to pray. Sometimes... This morning, I'll give you a great example. Yesterday, I thought the heavens were going to open up and God was going to come down yesterday. Today, I don't think I could put two sentences together when I was trying to pray. And I'm thinking to myself, Lord, what in the world has happened to me? I mean, yesterday was a really good day. And here today, I can't even think of anything. I can't get anything going on. Well, can I just tell you that that's just the way it is sometimes. Sometimes, for whatever reason, your mind just does not connect with what you're trying to do, what you're trying to accomplish. I don't know if y'all have that problem. I have that problem, all right? But listen, don't quit. Just because it's tough sometimes, don't quit. Keep at it. Stay at it. Keep on praying. And listen, God is going to send the answer. Let's look over to, in the book of Acts. I want you to see the way the early church, how they prayed. Look over in Acts chapter 1, verse 14. Acts chapter 1, verse 14. The Bible says, these all continue with one accord in prayer and supplication with women, with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. But he says, listen, they continued, kept on, all with one accord in prayer and supplication. Look at chapter 2 and look at verse number 42. Chapter 2, verse 42. By the way, like I said, this is the early church. These folks were being persecuted. These folks were going through some difficult, tough times. Verse 42 says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. Listen, this early church, they knew how important it was to pray, and I'm telling you, they prayed. Too many times we pray when we feel like it, or think about it, or when there's a crisis. But you know what? 1 Thessalonians 5:17 tells us that we're to pray without ceasing. Listen, we're to always be in an attitude of prayer. Pray without ceasing. It means we should be constantly in fellowship with the Lord. Constantly in fellowship with Him. Listen, there oughtn't to be a time that we can look back and think about and say, you know what? I didn't pray about that, or I didn't think that God would be interested in that, or whatever we might say. Listen, we're to always be in fellowship with Him, and we're to always pray about everything. God wants us to pray. Let me ask you a question. Do you think God enjoys answering our prayers? You think He does? Amen. Well, let me ask you this. Well, as a parent, do you enjoy giving gifts to your children? Well, if you enjoy that, and look who you are, we are, look who we are, do you not think that God enjoys it more than we enjoy giving gifts to our children? I think He does, and the Bible talks about that, different things. He says it like this. He says, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more your Heavenly Father? And folks, listen, I'm telling you, God delights in hearing and answering our prayer. He delights in that. And I think that's a joy to His heart. All right? Not only should our prayers be faithful, but our praying must be watchful. Nehemiah, back in his day, the Bible tells us that Nehemiah, there was trouble all around. And there were times when they were building that wall there, and the Bible tells us that they had their sword with them. Not only did they have tools to work on that wall with, but they had swords on because they had to be vigilant and watchful because the enemy was all around them. And the Bible used this phrase that they were to watch and to pray. They were to watch and to pray. They were to be on guard. They were to be working. They were to be busy doing what God wanted them to. But listen, behind the scenes, as it were, or that nobody knew, listen, they were praying to God and asking God for protection, asking God for their help, that God would bless and help them to get that wall put up. He also said this. Jesus said, use this when He was in the garden talking to His disciples. He said, watch and pray. Why? Why did He say watch and pray? Why did He tell His men, stop and listen to me for a minute. I want to talk to you. Watch and pray that you enter not into what? Temptation. Listen, folks, can I tell you that the devil would like nothing better than to stop us, trip us up, and get us off track? He wants to do that. He's trying to do that. He will continue to do that. He'll do it to the day that we until the very day that we die. Listen, He's not going to stop trying to get us to quit on God. And that's the reason why Jesus told his disciples, he said, listen, I know who you are. I know how you are. I know how weak you are. And even though we're in the garden and we're praying, I know the flesh is weak. And he says, listen, watch and pray. Watch and pray. Boy, be on guard. Be wary about the devil, because he's wanting to do everything he can to try to stop you. Our prayers should also be thankful. Thanksgiving is an important part in praying. If all we do is ask and never thank God for his gifts, we're being selfish. Do you remember the story of the 10 lepers? These 10 lepers were walking through one day, and they saw Jesus, and they recognized him. They knew who he was. And the Bible says that they turned and they started talking to him. They started hollering at him, Lord, have mercy on us. You know what that, when they were doing that, you know what that's considered, or you know what that's called? When they turned around and they said, Lord, have mercy on us. You know what they were doing? They're praying. Yeah, they're praying. They're asking God for something. They're asking God for healing. They're asking God to do something that nobody else could do. They knew nobody else could help them, but they felt like he could. God, have mercy on us. And you know what happened? Most of us are familiar with that, but there were 10 lepers there. And the Bible says, and as they turned, and God heard them, God answered their prayers, and he healed those people. And the Bible says, Jesus said to them, now go show yourself to the priest. Go show yourself. In other words, he is the one that's going to declare you to be clean. Let you go to him. Let him check you out, make sure, and he'll give you his seal of approval. And you know what? You can go back to your families. You can go back to your homes. But you go to the priest and let him examine you. You know what the Bible says? The Bible tells us that those men, they turned and they were walking away, but one thought to himself. He says, you know what? That's not right. I can't do this. He had to go back. He turned back and he fell at the Lord's feet, and he worshiped him and thanked him for what he'd done. What did he do? He answered his prayer. And you know what? The Bible tells us that nine out of the 10 turned and walked away, and they never even acknowledged that God answered their prayers. You know what? I'm afraid sometimes we pray about things and God answers that prayer, but we never thank him for it. We never stop and say, Lord, you're the only one that could have answered that. Nobody else could have done that. God, nobody else knew about this. Lord, you heard me. You answered my prayer. I want you to know that I am thankful for what you do, for what you did. I'll tell you, if you want to increase the activity, the fervency of your prayer, add thankfulness to it. Start thanking God for how he has answered your prayer. You're talking about making a difference in your life. It'll make all the difference in the world. Thank God for what he's done for you. Thank God how he's changed your life. Look back and thank you. Where in the world would you be tonight if God hadn't saved you? Where in the world? What would you be doing tonight? Would you even be alive tonight if God hadn't saved you? I mean, my goodness, we ought to emphasize and thank God for all the great things that he's done in our life. And I tell you, we should never get over the fact that God saved us. I was reading somebody in the last couple of days or so. I was reading somebody that was saying, how many times do you think God has saved your life from an accident, or prevented you from being in an accident, or prevented something bad from happening to you, and you don't even know anything about it? How many times do you think that's happened? There is no telling. It's no telling. But I tell you what, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting when we get to heaven and we find out all those things. But you know what? You know that it's happened. And you know what you should do, what we should do, is we are to thank God for his protection and for his mercy, because God has kept us safe. Now, look back just in Colossians there. Turn back to chapter 1, verse 3. I want you to see the thankfulness that Paul had here. Colossians 1:3. First of all, he says this: we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. But he was thanking God for these people and how God had worked in their life. Look at verse number 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Giving thanks, though. Here, that's what he said. Giving thanks to the Father. Look at chapter 2. Look at chapter 2, verse number 7. Rooted and bounded and built up in Him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therewith with thanksgiving. Look at chapter 3 and verse 15. Chapter 3, verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Look at verse 17. And whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. And then we've got that verse over in chapter 4, verse 2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Many, many times through the Bible, we're told to give thanks to God. You know, when we remember that Paul was a prisoner at this time, it really adds emphasis to what we're trying to get across to you. Listen, Paul was in prison, but he was one of the most thankful people to walk the face of this earth. He was always thankful for so many things. All right? And then the last thing I want you to see is our praying ought to be purposeful. Pray for us, what Paul is saying. Paul said, pray for us. What did he ask for? What was he asking for? Did he ask that he would have safety? Did he ask that God would bless him and, you know, all these things? Was he asking for things for himself? That wasn't it at all. Look at what he was doing, what he was praying for. Everywhere he went, Paul was always asking people to pray for him. And we're going to look at another passage here in a minute where he was asking some of the same similar things that he's asking for here. But first of all, he says that God, he's praying that God, he asked these people, praying that God would open unto us a door of utterance. Listen, he was praying for God to open a door. Paul was always looking for an opportunity. Well, wait a minute, what do you mean opportunity? He was in prison. He's bound. He can't go anywhere. He can't do anything except what he's allowed to do. And he's praying, God, open up a door. God, I know that you're able. God, I know that you're all powerful. God, I know you can do great things. And Lord, I'm asking you and I'm asking these people to pray that you would open up a door for me that I could give somebody the gospel. He says, listen, that I could give a door of utterance. What is he talking about? He said, I want to speak the mysteries of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. He said, listen, these people don't know. These people haven't been taught. These people haven't heard. They need to hear about Jesus Christ. And he is saying, listen, I want an open door to be able to preach to these people. Well, wait a minute, Paul. Aren't these the people that's holding you prisoner? Shouldn't you be mad at them? Shouldn't you hate them? Shouldn't you try to get back at them? Why are you not praying for God to rain fire down on them? That wasn't Paul at all. Paul said, listen, look, this is more important. Paul said, pray that I could reach them with the gospel. Can I just tell you, folks, tonight, if you're here, and everybody here looks saved, right? I just want you to know that right off the bat. But you know, looks don't mean anything. Looks don't mean anything. You know, you can be lost and on your way to hell sitting in church here tonight. You can be sitting in a service hearing somebody preach and not be on your way to heaven. Folks, can I tell you that Jesus Christ died on the cross, He was buried, He arose again the third day, and if you'll put your faith and trust in Him to save you, He'll save you, and He'll forgive you of your sins and He'll give you a home in heaven. Folks, listen, you don't have to die and go to hell. Paul wanted these people, these very people that had him bound in chains, he wanted to see them in heaven one day. He wanted them to be saved. And you know what, folks? I'm going to tell you, there has been so many people that have been at this church, come to this church and heard the gospel and gotten saved. You know what? You can too. Don't leave here tonight without knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior. He wanted to preach the gospel to him. Look at what he says in verse number 5. He says to walk in wisdom. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. He didn't want to waste time. Paul knew that he was on a limited time frame, and he didn't want to waste any of his time. He said, "Pray for me that I don't waste any time." Verse 6, he says, "Pray for me that I could say the right thing and have the right answers." Well, I tell you, Paul wanted to reach the world for Jesus Christ. And he wanted people to pray for him to do it. Paul was praying for it. He wanted other people to pray for him about that too. All right? And then I want you to see one thing real quick here. Over in Ephesians, Paul prayed similar to the same thing over here in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6 in verse 18. He says this, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereto with all preservation, supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Listen, Paul wanted the world to be reached for the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul wanted to see people get saved, and he was concerned about it. He prayed about it. He wanted other people to help him pray about that. You know, it's been said that the purpose of prayer is not to get man's will done in heaven, but to get God's will done on earth. Folks, listen. God wants to see people get saved. Now, I'm going to give you some, I'm just going to read some things. I'm going to give you some real practical, simple, I mean just so simple things about praying and prayer. All right? Well, if you're going to pray and you're going to be successful, and when I say successful, I mean, when I say successful, that means that you're going to be praying on a regular basis. And you're going to have a list, and you're going to try to pray and see God work and God answer prayers in your life. If you're going to do that and be successful at it, here's some things that'll help you. First thing that you need to do is get quiet and alone. Jesus, we read that verse over there, the first verse we read, that he went out to a solitary place. He got out there by himself. He got alone and got away from everything so he could pray, so it could be a quiet place. And so if you're going to be successful at it, get quiet. You quiet your spirit and get alone. Get in a quiet place where you can pray. Have a set time. I cannot emphasize that enough. You may not make it every time, but set a time. You know what you could do? You know these phones, they call them smartphones, and sometimes they can really be smart. You can tell, I'm not going to do it because I'm afraid she would do it. She'd ask me about it, but I'd say, if I said, "Hey, you know who I'm talking about? Starts with S," you know, and she would say, "Uh-huh." I'd say, would you set a time to remind me to pray at 8 o'clock tomorrow? And you know what she'd do? She'd do it. Just that easy. That's pretty smart, isn't it? That's pretty smart, isn't it? Well, you can do that too, yeah. And if you set a time, I mean, make an appointment with God. If you'll set a time, you'll be more apt to fill that time. Start that time. Pray during that time, all right? So set a time. My dad was big on this. Have a place. Have a place that you meet with God where you can pray. Read some good books on prayer. You know, when we used to go, and the ladies too, but we would go to the prayer advance, they would have what they'd call a sweet hour of prayer. And they had 12 things, just 12 categories of things to pray about and pray for. And the idea was, if you prayed for 10 minutes to pray for each one of those categories, and some would take longer than others, you know, and some were shorter, that kind of thing. If you prayed for those 12 things, 10 minutes for each one of those, you would pray for an hour. And people would take that list, and here's what they would say: "I can't pray for an hour. Can't be done. Never done it before. Can't do it now." And you know what? Almost always people would come back and say, you know what? I run out of time. I didn't have enough time. And people would use that and they would pray. And many, many folks prayed for an hour or more. And they never thought they'd never done it before, and they didn't think they could do it. But folks, listen, I'm not saying pray for an hour. We're asking that you pray for 15 minutes. But you know, I'm telling you, 15 minutes would be easy. It'd be easy to pray for 15 minutes, because I'm going to give you a list of some things that you, I mean, if you just really just prayed for a minute about these things, it'd be easy to pray for 15 minutes. All right? But have your Bible, have a prayer list, and have a pen. Read good books on prayer, said that. But here's some things to pray for. Pray for pastor. You know, I'm going to tell you, he would never let on and stuff. But you know, pastor's just busy. He's busy all the time. He's doing stuff all the time. He probably does too much. You know, he pushes. He just keeps on and on and on, and he just keeps adding things to him. And so you know what? I'm telling you, there's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of stress on pastor. So he ought to be at the top of your list. Pray for the pastor. Pray for him. Pray for the staff, and pray for, you know, pray for this church. Pray for our president. Pray for our governor. These folks that make big decisions over that, you know, affect us. State leaders, city leaders. Pray for this church. Pray for your family. Boy, that'd take a big chunk of time right there. Pray for your family. Pray for them. Call them by name. There's specific things in their life. You know about them. Pray for them. Pray for your family. Pray for missionaries. Boy, there's so many missionaries that need our help. And they need prayer. They need prayer. We ought to pray for them. And then pray about your needs. Pray about victory in your life. Boy, there's some things that you're struggling with. Pray that God would give you victory for those things. Give you victory in your life. Let me give you this one. Confess sin in your life. Confess sin in your life. That ought to be, you know, if we're talking about having priorities, that'd be a big priority. Confess sin in your life. You know, let me just tell you, if we would do a good job with that, a lot of these other things would fall into place. Confess sin. Have a clean heart before God. Before you enter into a committed specific time of praying. Boy, spend some time confessing sin. Let me give you a passage of scripture to go along with that. Psalms 51. This is David after he committed sin with Bathsheba, and he goes through there, and he has so many things about how to, you know, praying and asking God for forgiveness and asking God to cleanse and asking God to clean me. And on it goes there. I tell you, it is a great passage of Scripture to pray when you've got sin in your life. Confess sin in your life. Ask God for spiritual wisdom and understanding. Boy, ask God to help you. God, give me wisdom. God, I need wisdom. I can't do it by myself. I don't have enough sense to do it on my own. God, you've got to help me. God wants to help you. Spiritual wisdom and understanding. And then spend some time praising God, praising Him, and thanksgiving, praying, praise and thanksgiving. Boy, spend some time doing that. And let me give you something else. Go to the book of Psalms, and all through the book of Psalms, there's so many passages, so many verses, so many phrases there where the psalmist is writing and he is praising God for who He is, praising God for what He's done, praising God for what He's going to do. And boy, you could read that and say, God, you know what? This man wrote this in the Scriptures here. And you know what? God, I want to say the same thing to you. God, thank you for doing this. Thank you for this. Thank you. I mean, you could have yourself a time just reading and praising and thanking God for all the things that He's done. Folks, listen. Can I encourage you to commit, not just for 15 minutes on one day, but would you commit not to me, commit to God that you would, God, with your help, I'm going to start praying. I'm going to be consistent in my prayer life. Folks, listen, I'm telling you, it would change your life. It would change your life. It would change this church if you'd do it. I plead with you to do it. I plead with you. Please, please be serious. Spend time in prayer. Go by and pick up one of these cards. Go back and sign up for this. Pray for America. I tell you, we need you. Pray for America. Pray for it. And then pray for some of these other things. Pray for yourself. Pray that God would just bless. God would bless. God would help. I tell you, the world is going to die and go to hell. And we're going to be some. There are going to be some people that we know that's going with them. And folks, we need to be busy. Pray for them. Pray for people. Pray. I mean, be serious about it. Let's pray. Let's go. Let's bow our heads for prayer.